Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Gel called Uncle Funkies. And that's in my hair right now. My hair is full of Uncle Funky. Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And we're back after a little hiatus. I don't think that we have spoken with our beloved listeners in, I don't know, could be years.
Week and a half. Week and a half at least, yeah.
So this is just up front. I'll just explain what is going to be going on this podcast. We are going to be covering the past 2 weeks of Dynamite and Rampage. So that, yet again, four shows plus extra content. Is that right?
No,
it's
not
two Dynamites
four.
And one Rampage,
yeah,
right?
Because we recorded on Monday night, right. So it's two right. Dynamites and a Rampage.
Okay, three shows. Well, it feels like four. It's a lot of stuff.
I mean, we won't remember what any of it belongs to, so it could be anything.
Don't worry. Don't worry about it. But then hopefully going forward, we'll be back on our normal schedule.
Hopefully Dynamite will stay on its normal schedule, because when it's not, I really have no idea where in space and time I am. So it's a problem.
I know. That's our little lighthouse. And without it, we're going to crash into the rocks. not to get dramatic about it. Leah, you had a little excitement last week.
It was so funny because we were doing the notes and I saw that Anne had written Dynamite 1027 and I was like, fuck, what even happened on Dynamite 1027? And
I didn't watch any television on 1027.
I literally Googled it and was like, you stupid motherfucker. That was your actual show that you went to.
That was the Dynamite show that they held for Leah and dedicated
for
to
me.
Leah.
In the great city of Boston.
And Leah, who did you go with?
So it was me and Sarah and then our mutual friend Tracy and Tracy's dad. And Tracy's dad is a longtime WWE wrestler. Yeah, he wrestles. It's funnier if you knew him because he's very wimpy looking. Anyways.
Okay. Go on.
I just burned poor Joe for no reason.
No. And for what, Leah? And for what?
For what? He's a longtime WWE viewer and he's never watched AEW, or he only started watching AEW in the past, like, I think it's like maybe 6 weeks at the very most. And so he was like it game, because he was like, this will be fun, but like not really sure of like what he was getting into. And he had a blast.
That's so good.
From the dark matches to the very, very end, he had the best time.
Wow, that's Leah, and that's because that's your influence.
I think so. He said, I was quiet because I was taking everything in. I hope you didn't think that I didn't like it. I was just mesmerized by everything that was happening.
That's so sweet.
I know. It was so nice. Tracy, on the other hand, even though I told her multiple times it would be a long night, somewhere like halfway through Dynamite, I just saw her just deflate. And it was like, there's still Rampage left. I don't know what to tell you.
It's funny because it's like, even when you love the product and you love the company and you love everything, like when we went to the shows in Chicago, it was like halfway through was when you were like, I don't know if I can keep going. It is a full work day. It's long
especially when you have actually had a work day as we did. So like, we had been up since like 7 a.m and then just going through, it was crazy.
Yeah, but going after work for like a full 12 hours of wrestling is just a lot.
It was a lot. The other thing that was like, I don't know, the crowd was so much better at All Out than it was for this.
Oh, really?
And I'm so excited for you guys to go to like a local show just to compare to see if it was just that Boston's shit. But and Sarah's theory is that because people had to travel, like people traveled to All Out. So if you were going, you were a fan. Yeah. There were a lot of people there that just like, there were guys behind us that were like, oh, I haven't watched wrestling in years. I just came because I thought it'd be interesting. And, like, they had no idea what was going on. Like,
that's very funny.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
They, but it does make sense that it's like, yeah, that makes
the
sense.
The kind of people who are like, what's happening in my town this week? I'm bored. Yeah.
Right. And they're also, and this is dicey enough that I made, like, I should not say it, mm-hmm. but
say
there's,
it.
There, like, when I watched the prep version with Joe, with Tracy's dad, he was like, well, wrestling fans are not like quality people for the most part. Like, what do you say? I was like, I don't think so. I had fun in Chicago. I think it's like cool now. And he was like, no, wrestling fans are bad. And so I was like, no, I don't think that's right at all. I think that's, you know, that's WWE stuff. That crowd was bad. Nobody was wearing a mask. They booed Justin Roberts when he announced the mask mandate.
They booed Justin Roberts
in Massachusetts.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and it was
Massachusetts.
Just like,
no Massachusetts. Workshop that later.
And there was just, I don't know. There was just like a lot of things that I was like, oh, Chicago was better people.
You know, so. I don't want to. Huh. I also don't want to sound like a dicey reductionist, but when you go to most sports events, I feel like it is where the best and worst of humanity gathers.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And Boston sports are not like legendarily.
No. Oh, yeah. Nothing against sports fans, but people who attend sports events are typically bad. And people who attend Boston sports events are very bad.
We're mega canceled now, but.
Being on the tee after there's been some kind of game.
Oh, awful. I kind of actually, this is so off topic, but I got into a fight with my mother the last time I was home because she was like, are you excited that the Red Sox are in the playoffs? And I was like, no. And she was like, why aren't you a Red Sox fan? And I was like, because they're always on the tee and they're drunk and they're terrible.
They're giving themselves a bad name.
Yeah.
Awful. Awful.
Behave, people, and then we'd like you more.
Well, I don't want to make any promises, but
more of a shot at it, for sure.
Likely. Exactly. Yeah, it gets you in the door. Yeah. Okay, well, Leo, you will be throughout the night sharing some of those bad crowd reactions with
sure
us as we hit the matches. But we will start by really quickly touching on Tony Khan yesterday. It's crazy that this was yesterday.
No,
it was the day before.
Tuesday night,
right.
Yeah.
Tweeted and said that Jon Moxley is going into an inpatient rehab program and AEW supportive. They're all supportive, excited for him to get better. I don't think they used the word excited, probably. But anyway, so much love to Mox and his family. And immediately moving into it did impact the booking.
I know. I feel so bad talking about this because I really am like so glad he's getting help. Like, it's very brave of him, et cetera, et cetera. I was looking forward to his match with Orange Cassidy so much, and it was really disappointing to have that
real trick or treat. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is good that he's getting help, and
so good. My disappointment is not more important than how good it is. Certainly,
I hope. No. I hope that everyone who listens to this pod, as we discuss how this impacts our lives, knows that our love for Mox is inherent in every word, and that we really hope that he, you know, rock bottom wasn't too rocky, and that he has a very, very quick recovery and is healthy and happy. But also, we would like to be happy. Soon.
Wait, threaded that Tony. Needle deftly threaded.
See, Tony, it's all support to Mox, and it is going to mean that you're going to need to meet a few other demands that we have.
Yeah, I think I'd really appreciate it if Tony Khan would be a little bit sensitive to how devastated we are to lose that match and just give us some little treats to compensate, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. So the Dynamite yesterday was, the day after the announcement. Mox was supposed to fight Orange Cassidy. We did not see that. RIP that match. So you guys want to talk about just like the overall vibe of the show, feelings about how CM Punk did address it on the show, whether you liked that kind of stuff?
I thought Punk did a fantastic job. I mean, I think that there are other people that could have done it, but he did a really nice job. It's funny. I don't think I've been that impressed by him as a wrestler, but he is spectacular on a mic. And he hit all of the right notes in that little speech where he was like, he got them to chant. And then he like threatened Eddie very like he moved from supporting Mox to threatening Eddie so perfectly.
Yeah, I think he was in a hard position, or they were in a hard position probably, where it's like they want to address it, but you don't want to linger on it in like, you know, kind of a weird feeling way. I don't think that I didn't dislike it. I don't think I do like Punk on the mic, and I think he's good on the mic. But also, there's something about his whole energy that makes me nervous. So whenever he's on the mic, I do feel kind of like, I'm like, and he could say anything, I think. Like, I just don't know.
I do think he did an overall good job. But I think what made it feel like a little bit weird to me was just that he came in initially with the energy where it's like, and I know most of you assholes are gonna think it sucks and it was really weak of him to do this, but like actually it was great of him. And I was like, does everyone think that? Like, I hope not.
I don't know, really pleasantly surprised by how good the overall response on twitter.com was. Like, yeah, I was like, this is a good sign for our society that people are right. Like, yes, our wrestlers and our entertainers in general like should be happy and healthy and shouldn't just
and like it's okay
for us until they kill themselves,
right? For a wrestler to admit weakness and stuff. Yeah, I don't know. It felt more like 10 years ago or something to like come in with. Like, I understand why he did come in with that energy, but I feel like I would have liked it a little better if it had been a little like not introducing the concept that like we might think it's weak, but actually it's not. You know, like just off the bat, I guess.
Don't even bring it up. I thought overall though, I thought it was fine. And I thought it's like they had to do something that seemed like a good thing to do. It was a really good pivot to the stuff with Eddie. So
I don't think anybody else could have done it any better, probably, for sure.
I do wish, I mean, it sounds like so CM Punk threatened like that it was good, that he was gonna be the one that was pushed into the Eliminator tournament by posting a gif of him cutting up an orange on Twitter.
Thanks a lot, Punk.
I know.
And we got our hopes up.
During that speech, he was like, made it clear that he desperately does want to fight Orange. And it kind of felt like, if it did have a vibe of like, he heard about the news and went to Tony and was like, I'll fight Orange Cassidy. And Tony was like, oh no, I think Miro's going to do it. And he's like, then I'll get the crowd behind
you. Well, it's interesting to think about what TK was trying to do behind the scenes, because it's like he was already setting up the Punk Eddie thing, so I guess presumably he was like, no, I don't want that to intersect with the Eliminator thing or whatever. But
kind of feel like he must have just like cast around for like a heel that's not really doing anything. Like, Miro's just got like his one-sided feud with God where he does a promo against God and then God never does a promo back. So like, he might as well just grab him, you know.
I would love a little animated like art film where it's like the clouds are talking, and that's like God. I guess it would be blasphemous
kind of.
So that, yes, exactly what I was thinking. I was like, what image do you have in your head? Yes, exactly, Monty Python-esque. I don't think they'll do that ever, but let's move right into, so Orange Cat Tony announced yesterday. Got announced on the show that Orange Cassidy was gonna fight Miro. I immediately was not like thrilled about it.
No, because I mean, we've seen it before, and like that the Miro met like feud with Best Friends and Orange Cassidy went on for so long. Yeah. I guess we're just doomed to constantly be in feuds that go on for too long.
Well, with all the love in the world, and I want him to come back so much. It's Greg's fault.
It is Greg's fault. He's always out and making it last forever.
Like, it's Greg, because I know Greg's had these injuries, so they've only had these long, like, stalled feuds where they're like, we got to keep this one going until Greg gets back. So Greg, please come back. We all miss you so much.
I know. I think you guys were a little more disappointed right off the bat about Mira than I was, just because like I was worried it was going to be somebody who like Cody or something, you know, someone I'd really hate. So it was like, at least I enjoy Mira, but it was disappointing for sure to just get like a repeat. And here we go.
Got brain zapped where I was like, oh my God, remember when OC almost beat Cody? That's crazy.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That was a good match, I think.
Yeah. That was that month period where we were like, is Cody fine? Are we okay with Cody?
I think we were even saying things like, is Cody hot?
Oh, I was not saying that.
Well, I'm concerned about my brain.
I barely remember any of this.
One of our friends was saying it, and I got on board briefly. Then I got off the train. Like, it's like when it's like I hopped the train, it was in movement, and then I jumped down onto an embankment. I rolled down the embankment. No. This train is going nowhere good. And I was right. We'll get to that later. Did you end up liking the match or not?
Well, it was too short. There was picture in picture in the middle of it. That was very infuriating. I did think it was pretty funny. Like the stuff at the beginning where OC was kind of like scuttling away from Miro every time he came near him.
Extremely funny.
I thought that was really funny. And it was like, I don't think we saw him do that with Miro before. So that was enjoyable.
It felt like they had been like, we want it to be a little bit of a different match, mm-hmm. at least, which I'm like, that's good thinking. Yeah. Like they're like, we want to offer you something different. And I think they successfully did. I actually enjoyed the match. I really liked when they did that table spot. And then...
What'd you like about it?
I liked a lot of things about it.
Tell me what you liked about it, Allie. What was it?
I like when he jumped big. Uh-huh. I like when he do a big jump. And then jump. Like...
And then what?
I like when Miro put big hand on him.
Oh, his big hand right on Orange Cassidy?
I like when he put a hand on him.
I think this is going to sound really normal on the podcast.
I think you nailed it.
I've said it before. I was like, someone tweeted about it and was like, Miro was like really sensuously like touching Orange Cassidy after that table spot. And I was like, he touches all men that way. It's like his signature. It's practically his finisher. It's just. It is. Okay, not just the like move. Tenderly. It's the sensual touching afterwards.
Yeah.
And so he just had his hand on Orange Cassidy's stomach. He was stroking it, and I thought, wow, it's beautiful to see this. It's a representation, frankly, of hands. So I personally enjoyed that.
It's representation of hands. Do you feel that hands are underrepresented?
We barely see them, Anne. We barely see them. It's all legs and knees and other body parts, heads too. Rarely hands. So
I think we nailed this.
Yeah, this went really good, I think.
Couldn't have been more normal.
Are you guys interested in Miro versus Danielson or whatever?
Yeah. Okay. In terms...
It's like, yeah, I'm neither incredibly interested nor disinterested. Like, I think it'll be good, you know.
Yeah. Do you think Danielson will win? I think Danielson will win, I assume.
Yeah.
I don't.
Can't lose to Miro.
No, I think Miro's going to win because
Miro's going to beat Danielson?
Well, because whoever wins this match is going to be Hangman's first feud, and they're not going to want it to be Danielson. So I think Miro's going to win, and then it's going to set up a Hangman thing. I definitely...
It's so much worse than Mox. It just is. I'm sorry, Mox. I'm glad you're in rehab.
I mean, now that you said it, I know what you're saying, but I just feel like I don't... Like, to me, I'm like, Bryan Danielson's... It will be his first loss at AEW, and it's to Miro. To me, that's crazy.
Maybe it won't be clean. You know what I mean? Like, it's very possible it won't be clean.
Yeah, that's true.
But, I mean, I think that they really have it set that... Danielson's gonna be focused on Kenny when Kenny loses the belt, and then the person who wins the eliminator is supposed to be Hangman's first feud, which it should have been Mox. Like,
it should have been Mox
and his family. But
don't you think there's any way they could set it up where, like, Danielson and Hangman actually have Kenny in common, mm-hmm. as like a figure, mm-hmm. looming in their minds? Like, don't you think they could set it up where they have a match that like actually feeds Danielson's feud against Kenny in some way? Or like, it seems, I know it's not as straightforward, but
I think you could, but I think Tony hates face versus hate face matches. Like, important Tony. Face versus hit face matches.
Tony!
Yeah, lets, I do think that's right.
He let
yeah,
Darby
as you're saying it,
and
but it's
CM Punk fight.
Stupid.
What?
He let Darby and CM Punk fight.
You're absolutely right. And CM Punk gave like an interview about how much he hated that, and he thought it didn't work really bad.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he was like, I'm not fighting any more faces. He was like, that didn't work.
Oh my god.
He was like, no more. I'm done with that.
Oh, CM Punk. Jesus Christ. Well, if he becomes a heel, he'll have to fight faces. But I guess
they
yeah, that's
just,
what he wants. Yeah.
They
yeah.
should have put CM Punk in for Mox and turned him heel, and that would all make sense. It's just,
I agree.
Yeah.
And then CM Punk could have fought, like, been the heel to yeah. Hangman, and like
Which
that would have been interesting.
I mean, I think that would have, I think there was so much potential there where it's like, it's true, like, CM Punk has been feeding off that crowd reaction. Like, he like loves being loved and being welcomed back. Hangman is so over. It feels like it would be really easy to like mm-hmm. build
oh, yeah.
that heat.
I mean, people booed. Who did they boo when? I think they booed Moxley when he was fighting Hangman and the ladder match, which is just like crazy. It was like Hangman is so over. Like, the
right.
people will boo almost anyone, you know?
Yeah,
and I feel right. like you just make CM Punk a little bit of an asshole, and like people would definitely.
And he,
for sure.
he wants to so bad. I think he could
yeah.
sell it, you know?
Oh, for sure.
Oh,
yeah.
he easily could sell. I mean, I'm practically seeing him as a heel already. I'm scared of him. Scared of him on the mic. I'm like, he could say something mean.
It is interesting to me that, like, I mean, it's going to change. It must change so many of, like, Tony's, like, dominoes, not just
yeah.
for, like, full gear, yeah. but for the next one, too.
Absolutely.
Because when Mox comes back, he's not going to be able to turn heel for a long time, because fucking nobody's going to boo him coming back
yeah.
from rehab. He's
yeah.
going to have to be a face for until people, you know,
for
get
sure.
used to him again. Yeah.
And I feel like they probably didn't pull CM Punk out because they've got whatever planned with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever's going on, my mind went completely blank. But you know, they've got things going.
I don't even know
yeah,
what
with
you're
Eddie,
referring
thank you.
To. Oh, with Eddie. It's like,
you know,
like,
the thing. That
whoever
CM
Punk
doing,
is fighting, I know that he's. I know that he's fighting somebody, but
I don't know. I gotta talk to Tony. I gotta see
yeah.
what he think. I don't want Bryan Danielson. We can't talk about it anymore because it's like we don't have anything else to say, but it's like I don't want Bryan Danielson to lose to Miro.
No.
And I don't even want to see Miro versus Hangman. I mean, it's like I'll be happy to watch it, I guess, but
yeah.
I feel so not excited about that
yeah.
because they're not playing this like
yeah,
they're playing
not...
in the same psychological arena. They're both doing
yeah.
really cool
mm-hmm.
gimmicks and good character work in their own way, but it's like, I just don't see it being a good fit.
It's like a crossover between two shows with like a really different vibe.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's like Arrow and Justified are doing a crossover.
Yeah, you're just like, that's not right. Both good in their own way. I don't know if Arrow is good in its
Absolutely
own way, but
not.
You know, like,
no,
let's
yeah.
not bring
Couldn't think
together.
Of another good show. Okay. Also in Best Friends World this week, Best Friends fought the Acclaimed on Elevation. Leah, you saw this in person, and
so jealous.
I'm so jealous. This match was so fun.
It was so fun, and that was like the moment that I desperately wished I could just teleport you guys in there, because the second, so I mean, if anybody has seen like the way they do the Elevation matches, usually a jobber is waiting in the ring, and then whoever the famous person is comes out. And so when there was nobody waiting in the ring and then Best Friends came out, I was like, oh my god, they're not fighting jobbers. Who are they gonna fight? And I was grabbing Tracy so hard, she was like wincing, and I was like, who are they gonna fight? Who are they gonna fight? And then when I fucking heard the Acclaimed theme song,
Mad.
I went ape shit.
Wow. It was so good. It also was really funny. I don't know what's going on with Max's raps, but like his rap was like barely even touching Best Friends.
I thought
yeah,
that
only
was
dunking
very
on Boston.
It was
yeah.
only. It was only. And it was like the thing was that like Boston is terrible in every way, but Boston loves being dunked on in some mm-hmm. ways. So like it, like the crowd was super into it. Like when he said, "You're gonna get eliminated," like the Red Sox.
Yeah,
sonic boom through the crowd.
There's nothing you can get Boston to like more than a Red Sox dunk. Yeah, Best Friends and the Acclaimed fighting each other, it's like the opposite of a crossover between shows with different vibes. It's like
yeah.
that's perfect.
Yeah.
They should be fighting. They should be having a feud on Dynamite
that
for
would be
6 months.
Perfect feud.
I would love to see that feud, because it's like it's just good. Like, because Best Friends are already like not nice faces.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? So it's like they need this. Is we also were saying this week. That it's like best friends feuding with 2.0 would be so good for the same reason, because it's just like it's the same
some
energy.
Light comedy in the you know,
right? And all six of those however many 2.0 acclaimed and best friends are all ready to get weird at any given time.
Absolutely,
you know what I mean? Like
they do some really funny, like
nobody
they'll take
stuff.
It to the freak zone.
Nobody's trying to have dignity. Nobody,
exactly. Yeah,
except OC and his hair. But that's
yeah, and he's willing to go so undignified in every other way too.
Exactly,
so,
he'll ruin it for the goofs, but he's not going to be happy about it when he watches it back. yeah, that was just such a fun, like, good time match.
Mm-hmm.
The best. Okay, let's talk about what was going on with Hangman over the past few weeks. So the Dark Order fought the Super Elite on our pre-Halloween Dynamite. Oh, this was your show. I'm just, like, reading my notes.
Oh, I'm
and
so
not
jealous you got to see
I know,
that one in person. This was, like, one of my favorite matches. It's just so funny and stupid, like I loved it.
I just the other thing, it's like the Bucks are really interesting, I mean, like cool and good in that, like I feel like they can go this was a funny match obviously, and this is the same with Kenny, but like they can do serious matches where they feel really serious, and they also can go on Arrow. I don't know why Arrow is the show I chose for this.
It's like, does anyone else even remember Arrow was a show?
I think it's just, I'm only thinking about it because of that meme recently where like the lead of the show was like, stop using this picture as a meme. And it turned out that the rest of the cast like hated him. And like they just took a bunch of those pictures like celebrating his grave on the show or something. I don't know. That's why it's in there.
Wow.
The end.
I missed that on the old internet.
Shocking. That wasn't front page news. Read about it on Tumblr.com, a little news site. Ever heard of it?
Yeah, no, you're totally right, though. Like, the Elite really are, like, extremely versatile with how they can go full comedy or full serious. And so they're so good to just, like, dress up in costumes with the Dark Order and have, like, a really fun match.
Yeah. Allie, I think you and I had similar experiences where we were both watching this with people who didn't know what to expect. And before they came out, I said to Tracy, I can't wait to see what Matt Jackson is wearing. He's a beautiful lady man. He's the most beautiful man. I'm sure he's going to wear something beautiful, and you're just going to see how beautiful
you'll understand.
Lady man he is.
I had the exact same experience where I was watching my friend Hannah and Liana's with their baby. So fun to watch wrestling with a little baby sitting on you, a delight. But I'm just being like, that's Matt Jackson. Or like, not that's like, I'm like showing them pictures of like who's to come, you know what I mean? I'm like, this is Matt Jackson. He's the most beautiful boy in the world. Like, he's beautiful hair. So just a lovely, lovely, gorgeous,
sexy
man
aura,
woman.
Yeah. He wears outfits that like really, he just works it. He's just unbelievable. Like, the fashion, you're going to love it. And then that motherfucker comes out in a baggy tan
shapeless
jumpsuit.
Sack.
I will say though, he did stuff with his hips. He worked it.
He moved.
He made it a lady jumpsuit.
You are so correct. That man could walk any runway, Paris Fashion Week, New York Fashion Week, Milan Fashion Week.
He puts his hair half up and he knows who he is.
He know beautiful lady man.
Mm-hmm.
We can't keep saying.
A beautiful full feminine beard.
Did you guys see that Kath said on Twitter? She was like, they dressed up as the female Ghostbusters. We all know it.
Yeah.
I did it's
very
that,
true. And it was right. Oh my God. Anyway, so the Elite were Ghostbusters. The Dark Order were in other costumes that I can't. I mean, some of them were cowboys.
They yeah, John cowboys. Silver was a Bambi.
Colt dressed up as Brandon, which I thought was very funny.
That was pretty funny.
And distinctive.
And then the culmination of the match was that they were beating up the Dark Order horse, and then they realized that the horse was Brandon, and they thought Brandon was in the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man costume. Mm-hmm. So who's in the Marshmallow Man costume?
Who's standing right behind you?
Who's standing right behind Matt Jackson with a perfect little befuddled look on his face? Well, if you're not in the horn, then what should... It was Hangman, guys.
It was Hangman making the funniest mean face. They got me. I felt like a 5-year-old watching close-up magic. I was like, how did they do that? I was so impressed and delighted. It was so
there
funny.
Was, There was a point where Tracy just leaned over and she goes, "Am I hallucinating? Can you also see this?" Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh, it was honestly so delightful. Hangman fucking sucked. Yeah. Matt Jackson. Uh-huh. And when I watch Matt so Jackson good. Get hit really hard, that makes me happy. And he's my son, and I love yeah. it.
But and the elite had knocked out the ref, so they thought they were going right, to win yeah. by cheating, and then
that's right, I forgot.
By trickery, they lost, and the ref yeah. came to just in time to count them out.
Yeah. You know? And them beautiful. Tweeting afterwards and being like, this is the worst Halloween ever.
Right, Halloween is canceled. Oh my god, I forgot about the Halloween BTE too. Well, we can't get into all that, but let's just say that the Jacksons are the most self-aware men mm-hmm. in wrestling, and it's so good. It's, I know. You know, what can They're, you say?
As opposed to Cody, extremely good at, like, reading how the audience is reacting to them and...
Adjusting.
Very
and adjusting, well. Yeah. Yeah, which, and in a way where I'm like, I really don't feel like they pander to the audience either. No. Like, it's like, I've never had the feeling where I'm like, oh, you're doing this because you think it's what we'll like. But they're very good at being like, well, if this thing isn't quite working, we'll yeah. do something else mm-hmm. and see how that works. Like, we'll try a different angle. Not like yeah. we'll give you what exactly what you're screaming for.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
we will let you know we know what you're screaming for. And
that's
we're
like
gonna,
the
you know.
Crazy thing is that they seem to be like reading everything the internet is saying about them, but like not pandering, but also like adjusting well, which is, I mean, good for them. Like,
yeah. yeah I know. It is funny to me that they performatively last year deleted their personal Twitter accounts, but they have the like Young Bucks Twitter account that, and they're clearly reading everything on Twitter.com, and they do nothing but update their stupid Twitter bio, which we recently found out is all Matt's work.
I thought it was so funny when he was basically like, if you're a public figure on Twitter, you're just hosting your own hate thread. But if I only tweet in the bio, no one can like say mean things to me, which is like the most genius thing I've ever heard in my life.
Matt Jackson has a perfect mind. Oh, man. Anyway, this is a great match. And people enjoyed it in person, Leah.
Oh, yeah. Everyone was screaming. Mm-hmm.
So good.
They also did a, I only saw this afterwards on Twitter, where someone had a GIF. They did a little Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle spot for boys where I was like, wow, wrestling is for children and us and adult
children
women
and us and adult women who want to feel like children
and grown men get nothing.
Oh, there's some MMA for some grown men.
Oh, that's, oh, Jesus Christ. I cut it out this week. I couldn't
yeah,
do it
let's
again.
Not
it
discuss
doesn't
it.
Have a spot.
We still hate it.
We won't even talk about this, really. Kenny also fought Alan B. Angels. This was another thing that I don't think it was scheduled. I think that Tony scheduled it after the Mox announcement to, like, fill up some time in Dynamite. But I don't really understand. I guess I don't know how long the Mox OC match was going to be.
We can't think about sadly. That because I'll get too sad. I understand right. why Tony would not personally email me with a, this is a list of the plans I might have. But I would give so much money to find out what he had planned for Dynamite. Because I agree with you. I don't, this match seemed strange.
When they walked out, I was like, huh, like, because I hadn't seen the announcement that day earlier or whatever. Yeah. And I was just like, this seems like the weirdest match ever to open up Dynamite.
Well, on Wrestling Observer, Tony was saying it's like, so Kenny and Alan Angels had this, they fought in like May 2020. I think it was May. So that was before we were watching wrestling. And like, I guess it was a really good match. And Tony on Wrestling Observer was like, and that's how Alan Angels got the job, or like something like that, where I was like, oh, okay. So it's like important to both of them. It was a totally, there was nothing wrong with the match. And Kenny was very funny in the post-match promo, and Hangman did a great post-match promo.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
I did feel a little bit, it was like watching the sequel to a movie, I think, where I'm just like, yeah. I don't even know what the first movie would have been like, because especially because Kenny's changed so much. So I'm like,
yeah.
I don't know what Kenny was even
That's true.
Up to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I do feel like a lot of the Dark Order guys are a little bit underrated as like wrestlers. I was thinking about this while watching, because I rewatched yeah. the match we were just talking about, the Halloween one with the whole tag team, because like Stu Grayson is really good and I feel like he like doesn't get enough credit for it.
Sarah
and, like,
would be so happy to hear you say that, because she's always saying that exact thing. She would be losing her mind right now.
Every time he like gets out there wrestling, I'm like, dude, we know Stu Grayson was good. Like, it's like crazy.
I think it's true that it's like the Dark Order's, they're doing so many goofy bits that anytime they're actually wrestling, I'm like, oh, and they wrestle too.
I know.
they are.
Yeah.
Like pretty good.
Colt did like a backwards flip and I was like, but he's so broad. Like, how can he even do that? It's like, oh, pro wrestlers are professionals who make a living at wrestling. I guess they're good at it. Yeah. But
makes you think. But the basically, I don't remember what was happening after that. I assume Kenny was trying to chair Allen Angels or something. So Hangman came out, music hits. I'm horny. The man is confident. He is ready to take Kenny on.
Transformation, like the energy he's bringing now. Yeah.
So proud. There's just like a light in his soul that like is reflected on his skin. Like, he just looks, he looks radiant. He looks beautiful.
You know, and that's, and I have to say, it's like, I think he can act.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
He where can.
I'm like, it's
yeah,
not, none of this is real. Do you guys know that this is a made-up story? But
I do feel like he's like
look real.
Yeah, like head and shoulders above most of these chuckleheads, like who are not actors.
That guy could have played any character in Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah,
he doesn't. He could have gotten Romeo, but if he wanted a different role, maybe with a little more depth, he could have it. Mercutio.
Yeah.
Benvolio.
I can name many characters from Romeo and Juliet. Yeah, I mean, I feel like Cody is trying to go Hollywood, but like Hangman Adam Page is the one with the actual potential for an acting career. But he shouldn't.
Love to watch
him. Keep him
Hangman rom com.
Dynamite. Oh my god, a Hangman rom com. I'm too horny. We need to.
I know.
Stop
we gotta
the podcast.
Move on. Then really quickly, the Elite also had a little like backstage promo to front stage brawl with Jurassic Express. Adam Cole got like beaten with a chair and then he got choked out by Jungle Boy, an adult man, all the way to sleep till he pass out. That's it. And then they're just building their little feud there still.
Poor Adam Cole really got it, because he got put to sleep by Jungle Boy, but then at the very end he got his head smashed between two chairs by Luchasaurus. Which that was really weird, because then Luchasaurus, like the crowd was chanting "Do it again," and Luchasaurus didn't. But then he was like crouching, talking to Adam Cole, and I was like, "Did you hurt him? What happened here?" It's just a really weird segment.
That one felt to me like it was filling in some time for sure,
especially because. And this is kind of a broader point, maybe. So I'm really not complaining about the ongoing Jurassic Express Elite feud, because I think all the matches have been fun, and because I think they all have really fun energy, and because I think Jungle Boy really needs the practice. So it's good for this to be drawn out a little bit so he can work with the masters. But it was kind of like, we're not covering any new ground here. No. Like, this isn't building anything extra. We don't need it. Like,
right.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. I had to see Christian Cage was like, it looked like he was really trying to dress cool, and I hated that.
Yeah.
It made me mad.
He is always dressing like a cool dad. Like, he's Christian, trying to hit on divorced moms at the park or something. Like,
yeah.
Christian, do you even have a kid? Do you even have a kid here?
It's like in About a Boy when he like is faking having a toddler.
I'm stroking out, because it's honestly so easy for me to imagine Christian Cage is the lead in About a Boy, and I'm like, who is weird enough to be the little boy? Maybe it's Marco. I don't know.
I think was the little boy in About a Boy named Marcus.
It was Marcus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my
there
God.
We go. Kismet. Yeah.
Wow. That was kind of a good movie, honestly. I think that might be a spicy take. I'm not sure. Rachel Weisz was really beautiful in it.
Ugh. I think it was a good movie. I enjoyed it.
Cool. Yeah. Hmm. It had a good theme song too. Should we talk about this some more?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Okay. MJF. I had no memory of the beginning of this, so you just correct me if I'm wrong, but MJF squashed someone on Dynamite?
Yeah, that was my Dynamite.
Your Dynamite?
Mm-hmm.
As a little prelude.
It's nice that you were present at a Dynamite, so you can easily distinguish between the two Dynamites, because I can't.
I easily can, because also Rampage was also very, like I for once in my life, I'm like, I know exactly what happened when, and I'm like pretty high on it right now. Like, ask me anything. I know.
You do. You look as radiant as Hangman.
It's true. Golden skin.
Yeah. I think that guy wasn't even like a, I mean, prove me wrong, but that I don't even recognize that guy from like Dark or anything, so I had no memory
of there being a match. I literally thought he just came out and vamped without doing anything. That's all that's in there, so sorry to that man, but he did not make an impression.
No.
But he just vamped. He dunked on Boston for a while, which as we've heard, they loved, I assume.
Oh yeah
just in general. I was like, they love being dunked on.
Oh yeah, it was like it's so fun to hear the audience, the difference between people enthusiastically booing MJF versus like genuinely booing Cody. Like, it's so fun because you know that like when MJF is like making fun of Boston, everyone's like so happy to be booing him versus like, you know, like the genuine like go away.
Yeah. Right, like cheerful booing, like, yeah, oh right, we're having a blast. Anyway, so he vamped a little, and then we got some snow. Did we get some snow? No,
it was just the lights off. Yeah, and then
he's not in Florida, so there's no snow ever.
And then he went, "Ooh, you stupid idiots!" Oh my god, because it was a fake out, and we were like, he was making fun of us. He was like, "I can't believe you believed that was really Sting." And then the lights went off again, and MJ was like, "Sean, what are you doing?"
Right. And then we got a beautiful little Darby art film. And it turned out that Darby was hiding in the audience in a trench coat. And he looked so funny in that trench coat.
It was the kickiest little trench coat I'd ever seen.
He looked like he was a little like noir PI who was, you know,
specifically like the Mary Kate and Ashley noir PI.
Oh my god. Or like if he was in like a Wishbone episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sure, it kind of had a vibe of like three third graders in a trench coat, kind of.
Well, and it's like the shoulders were really big on him because he's such a little boy, very slight. And yeah, just so funny. That trench coat, it deserves a costuming award. We don't really usually give them out, but I have to give it one.
Yeah.
Because they could have put him in a well-fitting trench coat, and that would have been worse.
It would have been worse.
I wouldn't have been as happy.
It was just so funny when they like zoomed in on him in the crowd, and it was like, guess who's here in a trench coat hiding?
I know. It's also funny because it's just like, it doesn't feel like a super Darby move, and this isn't like a complaint, but it like, it does, it felt like he was like kind of trying it out, you know what I mean? Like, usually yeah, I'd just be in the rafters or something, but I guess I could like be in the crowd in a trench coat. See how that works.
It's like not even a black trench coat, it's a tan trench coat.
I know. Oh, that's my baby. Oh. Anyway, blah 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 blah. And then this week MJF cut another promo on Darby on Rampage, which is really dense, juicy, erotic, sexual. Just being like, you and I are the pillars of this company. This company is nothing without us. But why do they cheer for you and boo me? Like, it was like he was really getting into some stuff where I was like, you found a good angle. It's like really juicy. Yeah. I really buy like the specific kind of heat that you guys are working with. I mean, I like to watch it.
People really get very intense psychosexual feuds with Darby. Like, I feel like it's like the other person is even better when they're like dunking on him.
You gotta step up.
Yeah.
I wonder if part of it is that it's like, no, I don't know. I don't really have anything. But I think it's true. It's like he's just very good at being at like giving off an intensity that I feel like people feel like they have to meet. And then it's an intensity that demands vulnerability in some ways.
Yeah. And I think like both Ethan and MJF find themselves in the place where they're trying to justify themselves
yes,
to Darby.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Where they're like, I'm, you know, the way I chose to wrestle is right. The way I'm doing my characters right. The way.
Right.
And like Darby gives them nothing, so then they just keep like justifying it.
That's true. It is like your therapist who's just taking notes and isn't asking any questions, and somehow you're still talking.
It's like Darby being slightly outside the mainstream makes them all like throws their corporate, you know, capitalistic lifestyles into harsh relief.
But it is true that they're very similar feuds in that they kind of start from a place of like, I'm mad at you, and then get to a place of like, I'm mad at me. Like, but not that that's not what they're saying, but that that's like that you feel a little bit of self-hatred, actually, which is, I know, is not like what MJF is. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I feel from it is just like, I am angry at how people treat me in a genuine way in kayfabe.
Yeah.
And not in a glancing way where I don't give a shit. And that is sexy.
I think MJF, the character, would be furious about this, but I think MJF, the character designer, would be thrilled to hear it.
Yes.
Because I do think that that is exactly what he's hoping.
Ooh, well, he's doing it. I mean, they're doing a great job. And I think it shows because we haven't seen them fight in... I don't know. Have we seen them fight? Like, we've seen them fight, like, have their little skirmishes. But, like, it's a lot... I feel like in another feud, I could be kind of like... we doing here, but it feels like it keeps deepening.
For sure
MJF is sort of not I mean, this is kind of mean, but he's like Jade in that way where like I'm like, do I ever see him wrestle?
He does do a lot more talking than wrestling, for sure.
But he also does a lot more talking, so he's doing something. But you are right. That sometimes it is like, when is the last time I saw MJF?
Well, like, because Darby was gone for a bunch of weeks, where MJF was just mad that he was gone, and then are they supposed to wrestle next week? When's their?
They're supposed to wrestle it All Out.
Oh, full gear.
Full gear. They're supposed to wrestle next year at All Out. It's long term storytelling. Ever heard of it?
Line of MJF's gear. where he was like, we are pillars of the company and it wouldn't work without us. I was like, he's not wrong though.
Yeah, no, it's true. They do definitely both represent like unique facets of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when he was like, all these other guys were worried when the new people came in, but not us, because they'll never stop giving us screen time, basically.
And they never better. Tony? This. So let's move on to also a match from Leah's show. I only watched this today for the first time because I hadn't made it through Rampage for various reasons. I lost my mind. I thought this was so fun. So this is, are you guys interested in what the match is? Well, you'll never know. Britt fought Abaddon on Rampage last week, and she did such a good job of being so freaked out by Abaddon.
It was so perfect. I wish I realized that you hadn't watched all of Rampage, because I would have told you just to skip to this, because this was like, this was the thing I was so excited for you guys all to watch, because I after watching like a bunch of Elevation matches, Dynamite, and then Rampage, the crowd was really starting to flag. They lost their shit for this. Like, all of the energy came back. Everyone was, like, screaming. It was, I mean, Britt is, she, every time she scuttled away from Abaddon, I was laughing so hard.
I love that. It was such, like, a new energy from Britt, just being, like, so freaked out. Like, it was delightful, and she did it so well. Like, the close-ups were so good. It was fantastic.
Yeah. It was, it was a great, like, it was funny. It was good. It's like, feel like it's dumb to say, but it's like, it was good character work. I'm like, oh, I like now having that little picture of Britt in my brain. And I'm like, now show me that somewhere else too, when it's not because of a zombie, please. And then also it just was like, honestly, pretty freak hot as the matches go, just because it's like, I think anytime, like, Britt gets a really good energy when they get into that fucking thumbtack shit. Uh-huh. And, like, she just is... I felt pretty bloodthirsty, if I'm honest.
Yeah, it was such a good pre-Halloween match. Like, I was really psyched for Abaddon to get, like, a big, you know, main event there. And I just really love how she's, like, not out there trying to be sexy. How much she freaks out the men on commentary, for instance.
Yeah. I agree. Great. No notes. Loved it. Oh, I do have one note, which is just that the match was completely delightful, but I, in the middle of it, was like, maybe we need a little award, and it's called like Propworks Revenge or something, because when that table refused to break.
Oh my God.
There's nothing funnier than when a table won't break.
I mean, they kept trying.
Like, they tried twice. Yeah. But the moves looked cool. Like, it didn't look bad, but I was like, guys, give up on the table. We got to get
the crowd kept chanting. The crowd was like, break it again. Or I forget what the chant was, but like, they kept trying. And like, it won't break. It won't fucking break.
It was funny. Like they had put like accidentally like a non-rigged table out there, and it was just like a regular table you're throwing people onto.
I know. I wish I knew more about like how those tables, like what they get up to with those tables. But yeah. This isn't even worth it. I won't get into it. Anyway, so also in Brit adjacent news, this week Jamie Hayter fought Anna Jay in the TBS Very Funny Tournament and won with interference help from Brit and Reba. Mm-hmm. And then we had a full like Russian nesting doll of like women running out, where I don't even remember. It's like Ty Conti ran out to defend her, and then Thunder Rosa ran out to defend her. And it was a good match, and it was a good post-match promo, and that's all I really have.
Yeah, I was glad to see Thunder Rosa come out just to remind everybody that she has unfinished business with Britt. Yes. Because I am very horny about that match.
Oh, right. Because she came out and she punched Britt, right? Yeah. And they got into a little fight. That's right. And it was very electrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was great.
Ooh. There was something else I was going to say. Oh, I'm sad that Ty Conti isn't being friends with Sheeta anymore because she has her Anna Jay friendship. I love Ty and Anna Jay, but I want Sheeta to have friendships.
I know. Yeah. It's weird stuff doesn't stick.
I feel like she's still like right now post being champion, like kind of looking for her angle. Like it just doesn't feel like she has like landed on something that she really wants to do. And I could be wrong about this.
Yeah,
but she also had her rematch against Serena Deeb, and won. And then this week she like got her trophy in a little bit, and she had a promo with Nyla where Nyla was threatening her, which interested me because all love to Serena Deeb, who we've been told is a great technical wrestler by many sources, but she is not very charismatic, and never seen her do a promo that made me be like, wow, I want to see what Serena Deeb is up to.
I know. I feel bad because I think she's like a good wrestler, but like I don't know what it is. She's like, I mean, Jungle Boy is a bad promo giver, but like I don't feel like he's like a black hole of energy, whereas like Serena Deeb often is.
Well, Serena Deeb kind of has like MMA energy, like in the her vibe is like, I do real normal fighting and I'm a real normal person, and it's like, real normal? That's not gonna fly here.
It just always reminds me how hard it is to get a combo of a person who's like good at talking and good at wrestling.
But anyway, so for that reason, the Sheeta Nyla heat thing, I was like, okay, that's interesting. That gives you something to work with and something to push off against. So I'm pretty interested in maybe what they'll do. I don't know.
Sheeta finally got her good female trophy. So that's nice.
It was ugly, of course.
Got female written right on it. Just normal stuff.
Perfect. 50 perfect female matches.
Highest quality female.
And then this is going to have to be there. We almost already don't have enough time to get into all this, but Cody did a promo in Boston. Mm-hmm. Well, the gist of which was that he was like, I won't turn heel no matter how much you boo me. Don't forget that I started this company. But he said it in like a guilt trippy way.
It was like, I know that I love you more than you'll ever love me. And that's fine. It doesn't upset me that you guys are so mean to me, even though I did everything for you.
Like even though I gave birth to you, your like own mother, 36 full, hours of labor.
Full narcissistic mother gothel vibe from Cody.
Right. When he first came out, Sarah and I were kind of in disagreement. She was saying she thought it was 70 70% boos, 30% cheers. I thought it was even less than that. But then as that speech went on, it was even worse. Like, the really? Cheers, like, disappeared. Yeah, Boston was not having it, which made it me feel good, at least.
Well, don't try that at Boston. Like, Boston wants to be guilt-tripped.
I thought it was such an obnoxious speech. Like, it was just so, like, you ungrateful children, like, boo me, even though I created this whole company. And, and then he was saying this stuff about how, like, I won't turn because it'd be easier to turn. And it's like, what is that even?
Right.
Like, it doesn't make any sense.
You know, in some ways, like, over the past few weeks or whatever, I've gone back and forth a lot where I'm like, Cody is doing bad gimmick. Cody is maybe doing effective gimmick, because it certainly always gets a rise out of me and I always have something to say about it. And then I was thinking about him being like, all these interviews where he's like, I'm going to do something that's even more complicated and you've never seen something like this in wrestling. And I was like, this week was like, well, what is it? What do I think the thing that he could be doing is? And I'm like, I guess he could be doing something where he is a bad guy who doesn't know he's a bad guy. I mean, that would be very American. That would make sense with the Homelander kind of patriotism shit, is if it's like he keeps being like, I'll never turn, I'm a good guy, I'll stay good, but he is bad and Cody the person knows that, but Cody the character doesn't. That's not interesting, and it's not like it clearly... the things that he's doing are working in that, like, we're having a response to it.
Right.
But what is the underlying logic? You know, it's like, I just don't feel, I'm not saying this like, and I buy it and I'm into it, but I'm like, that's the only explanation that I've come up with for like what I think could possibly be percolating that takes into account like the things that he does and says in all of these different arenas of like giving normal interviews and doing Roads to the Top and like his kayfabe speeches, and like that's all I got. That's it.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think I've talked before about how before each Dynamite, Sarah and I go through the card and predict who would win. And I genuinely, when they said Cody versus Andrade, I'm like, I can't even guess because I don't know what story they're telling. Like, I have no idea the shape. Like, I would love to hear him describe what he thinks is happening right now, because that would give us insight into whether he thinks he's a good guy who doesn't know he's a bad guy. You know what I mean? Like, I would love to hear him shoot on what's happening right now.
Yeah. Or we at least need to move somewhere with, you know what I mean? Like, it's like we need to see, because even if that were the storyline, it has to end up somewhere. And the natural place for it to end up is the moment where I was trying to think of what that, this is not a good thing to be referencing in the year 2021, but that stupid the Joss Whedon musical where it's like Neil Patrick Harris is like the evil mastermind who has the moment the musical where suddenly
Dr.
he's
Horrible
like
or whatever.
Dr. Horrible. Yeah, I think you're right. Where suddenly he's like, oh, I'm the bad guy. I'm a bad guy. But like, that's the natural conclusion of that. Like, you have to have, at some point in the storyline, there has to be the moment where it's like, I have been saying and saying that I'm the good guy, but I'm a bad guy.
Right.
Yeah. And you do need some indication, because like, as you're spelling that out, it is like that kind of storyline could definitely work. Like, if it is he thinks he's a face, but he's actually the bad guy. But you do need to feel like the show itself knows that. Like, I'm even thinking like Breaking Bad, you know, where it starts where you're like, he's like an anti-hero, but like the good one, and we're on his side. And then like gradually over the course of the show, you're like, oh, he's really not. And like the show knows he's not, you know. And there, it's just like, I don't feel like there's any indications on Dynamite that except for the audience booing that like he's not a good guy.
Right. The show is not doing anything to be like, you know, like maybe being Mr. America in 2021 is more troubling than it is inspiring.
Like, I feel like Cody the person doesn't understand that America the country thinks it's a good guy and it's a bad guy.
Yeah.
You know? But like,
that's really true.
That's right. Oh my God. So in a way, it's like, whether he's planning it or not, he's a perfect embodiment of something.
An American nightmare, I would say. Yeah. So like, good stuff. Distressing.
He is the moment.
His Hate whole him. Existence. Oh God.
I will say, Andrade coming out after that promo and being like, basically Babe Nobody Likes was so funny and made me love Andrade.
Yeah, the heels have started to say that because I feel like Malakai Black also cut a promo on Cody where he was like, yeah, and even though like I'm a bad guy, everyone hates you more, which like at least they're making it explicit, but it doesn't feel like a voice from above. It just feels like they're going a little rogue.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. But I think, I mean, they're definitely getting some shine off the situation, which is good for them. Have loved everything that Malakai Black and Andrade have been up to.
I have not stopped thinking about on Rose to the Top when Malakai Black said to Dustin Rhodes, your brother made me and I won't forget.
And I won't forget that.
It was just very like Fairy King who will keep that favor until Cody
absolutely
needs a thorn taken out of his paw.
It's a it was a full life debt line. I was like, Malakai Black wishes that I would write an original fantasy novel where he's the main character and he lives under the hill and he owes a human a life debt. And I won't do it, Malakai. I'm not going to do that, Malakai, but I understand that you wish that I would. Mm-hmm. But I won't
very
again. I think that's really all we got for this week. There was some other stuff. FTR rolled out from under the ring at one point because they're still being hired for it's like for odd jobs, basically, by Andrade, which I think is the best use of FTR.
It definitely is.
Can I tell my literal dumbest FTR story from last night?
Please. This will be
our closing, our closing little thing.
Closing anecdote.
So FTR came out and then they were beating on Cody, and then I was like, oh shit, Pac's gonna come out. But then the Lucha Brothers come out, and so knowledgeably, I was like, oh, right, because they're aligned with Pac. And Sarah goes, also because of FTR. And I went, oh, why? Do they have heat? And she just silently went, yeah. And I was like, have I seen them wrestle before? And she goes, yeah. And I went, oh, and then I was silent for like 45 seconds. The frogs, the titles.
I found that story so relatable.
Incredibly relatable.
I can't remember anything about FTR ever. It's like I only have room in my head for so many storylines, and theirs just like fly right out of there. Like
I hope they're happy that now they are full-time frogs in my head. And like when I do see
frog
them and I'm
TR,
like, I have to acknowledge.
Right?
Oh my God. Yeah, you are right. When I see them and I am forced to acknowledge their existence, I'm like, where are those frog costumes? It's like you go to like a 14-year-old's birthday party, and you're like, oh, do you still have that frog costume? You look so cute in that frog costume. They're like, that's when I was 3. And I'm like, you'll always be that little frog to me. And that's FTR. Oh my God. Okay. I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Quirkin. You can find us on Twitter at TunnelTalkPod, via email at TunnelTalkPod@gmail.com, on Tumblr at TunnelTalkPod, on TikTok at TunnelTalkPod. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, and come back next week.